May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 380. O Jesus, thou fountain of grace, enliven my heart, and show the sweet smiles of thy face, and from me bid evil depart. Pronounce I am thine, a sinner once purchased by blood, and may I forever recline on the bosom of Jesus, my Lord. Hymn 380.
Jesus. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God, the Acts of the Apostles and chapter 7. We'll commence reading at verse 17. And this is the testimony of one who was resolved for the glory of God to die. It's the testimony of dying Stephen, fitting in very well with the last line of the hymn you've just sung. So Acts chapter 7, and we will commence reading, as the chapter is a long chapter, commence reading at verse 17. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live. In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up, and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him, and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren. Why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbour wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Madian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, Make us gods to go before us, for as for this Moses which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your God, Rephan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favour before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him an house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them, which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word and this dying testimony of Stephen. May he help us now in prayer. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, thou who art the same yesterday and today and forever, Lord, we do rejoice that thou sittest still upon the right hand of the throne of God in heaven above. Thou still receivest sinners there. Thou still dost gather thine elect from the four corners of the earth. Thou dost still send forth thy Holy Spirit, and that thou dost quicken sinners into life and make them to be vessels of mercy, and to show forth thy praise and thine honour and glory in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We thank thee that we do live in a day that we may worship thee freely as we do this night, without fear for our lives, and Lord, without threat upon us, that we can gather around thy word and be strengthened in our souls and in our spirits, that we may learn of thee and feed upon thy word. Lord, we gather under thy promise that thou wilt be with us even unto the end of the world. But, O Lord, we do seek that that which thou art pleased to work in our hearts might be indeed the true saving work of the Holy Spirit, and that which shall stand the test and storms of persecution and tribulation, but Lord, that also may stand the test of riches and worldliness and materialism and ease and comforts and this life's pleasures so called. O Lord, we do beg of thee that thou would look upon this company here, this company that buys and sells, that marries, that gives in marriage, this company that have homes and food and clothing and blessings of this life. And Lord, we seek that it might be a company that does not just live for this life, but that does seek that heavenly city and that which is above. O Lord, leave us not to be deceived, but Lord, do grant that thou would sanctify the trials that are brought, for thou hast said in the world, ye must have tribulation. And Lord, as we gather this evening, we do know that as thy people are here, then there must be those here that have given them by thee tribulation, that which is given of a particular nature, an individual nature, that which is hard to the flesh, that which is which the Satan will come in through, that which is a real trial, and that which there is needed the grace of God. Lord, we particularly pray for any that may have turned in discouraged and that Satan is speaking loudly in their hearts to give up their profession and to give up their following. Lord, those who know what it is to be so tried and so tempted and yet wonder at the source and at the points upon which they are tempted and yet are blown and tossed to and fro. O Lord, we do seek that thou hast strengthened thine inheritance and satisfy them when they are weary, And Lord, that thou would establish and strengthen in thy ways. We do thank thee that thou art the mediator of the new covenant, that thou sittest upon the flood, that thou wast tempted above every man, that thou didst resist unto death, yea, thou didst pour out thy life unto death. And Lord, we do know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though thou wast rich, yet thou didst become poor, that we through thy poverty might be made rich. And Lord, we do seek that we might seek those eternal and those everlasting riches that thou hast to give, and that we be not like Bunyan's man with the muckrake, who only had eyes for the things that are on the floor, those earthly things of the muck and poverty of this poor dying world, and hearken not and heeded not unto the crown that was held over his head. O Lord, we seek that we might seek those true riches, and that which is of endurance, and that which is in heaven above. Lord, we pray for thy Holy Spirit to be put forth with thy word this evening, that thou speak into sinners' hearts, that thou grant the application of the precious blood of Christ applied unto the soul. Lord, that covering which thou hast said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Remember any poor, sin-bitten soul that has turned in thither, seeking those healing streams from Calvary, seeking that fountain open for sin and all uncleanness. Be pleased to plunge them therein, apply the balm, heal their souls, refresh them through the means of grace. Lord, we do see that thou remember those in whom thy work is and whom thy blessing has been, and yet who remain silent, that thou be the looser of tongues this evening. We pray that thou loose our tongue to speak the word of God, and that thou loose sinners' tongues to sing with the heart and with the understanding also, and also to speak. For we do know that with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. O Lord, leave us not, except that it be so laid upon us that if we should hold our peace, the very stones might cry out. We lovingly commit unto thee the dear deacons of this cause of truth. Bless them in their own souls, be with them in their exercises, be with them as a church and people. We seek, Lord, thy blessing on the children and young people. We thank thee for them here this evening. Lord, those who have turned in from their employments and busy scenes and perhaps have not even had time to have a bite to eat, or they have rushed to thy house with but a mouthful. O Lord, satisfy them, bless them. May they truly prove that it is good for us to be here and to gather around thy sacred word. Lord, help and be with each afflicted one. Be with those who are afflicted unto death, those that near their journey's end. We lovingly bring before thee thy servant John Ralph and also Mrs. Hawkins of Watersham. Lord, bless them in their souls and be with them in their illnesses and be with their loved ones also. Lord, those that may be afflicted in this company, or those that have been bereaved or have loved ones that near their journey's end, we pray that thou be with them, that thou help through these times. And, O Lord, that thou shine on our churches. May we be increased and strengthened. Bless thy dear servants that have been recently sent out. We thank thee for those that are younger in the ministry. We thank thee for those of our dear aged ministers whom thou hast enabled to still proclaim thy truth into old age. And our churches have been the beneficiaries of experienced ministry and those who are ripening for glory. And we thank thee for this. And Lord, that thou hast been pleased to even send forth more labourers into the harvest. When thou dost take thy sheep home, may there be the lambs appearing in the flocks. We thank thee where there are. We thank thee for those who have made profession of faith, those who have rejoiced the Church of God of hearing their testimony. Lord, we thank thee for answers to prayer, and that thou art a prayer-giving, hearing and answering God. Thou art good and faithful. Thou dost open thy hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Thou art good to all, and thy tender mercies are over all thy works. We thank thee for the rain that thou hast sent upon the earth to soften the parched ground. And Lord, we pray thy blessing upon it. We do know that thou art able to send rain in such quantities that instead of it being a blessing, then it is that also that we pray that there be a withholding. And Lord, that it might be in a spiritual way that we pray for a blessing and then prove that there be not room enough to receive it, but our cup runs over. Oh Lord, that that might be so this evening, that thou hast filled us with the treasures of God, and make the Lord Jesus Christ most precious to us. We read unto you which believe he is precious. And we seek, Lord, that we might have enlarged views of thee, of thy offices and of thy person, to magnify thy grace in us. May we be enabled to show forth thy praises. Make us salt and make us light. Leave us not to be ashamed of thee in this world. O Lord, do bless us with that grace to mortify sin and by thy Spirit to seek the things above. Lord, grant grace to tread this poor dying world under our feet and to be of those who seek that heavenly country. And so, Lord, we seek to be refreshed, strengthened, encouraged on our way this evening. We thank thee for the gathering together of thy people. We thank thee for the brethren, where there is love one to another. Do deliver from Satan the whisperer that separateth chief friends, and grant thy peace and thy blessing here, as we ask all in and through the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 1104. Convinced as a sinner, to Jesus I come, informed by the gospel, for such there is room. O'erwhelmed with sorrow for sin, will I cry, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Hymn 1104.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to the passage that we read, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, and reading for our text, verses 55 and 56. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. These words, the words of one just about to enter into eternity, to depart this life and to appear before God. What a solemn scene is a deathbed scene. Those of you here that may have witnessed such may perhaps compare what you have witnessed in a home or in a hospital with loving relatives around, with the Lord's people ministering and speaking comfort, or perhaps holding the hand of the one that is to depart. What a different scene than what is here. Stephen, surrounded by those filled with enmity, filled with hatred, speaking against him, blaspheming the God that he loved and to whom he was to appear before. Soon to endure an excruciating death under the stones cast at him. How quickly this man, after making a profession as to an office in the Church of God, was to lay down his life for that profession. We only really have two chapters here. And in the sixth chapter, we read that there were the Grecians murmuring against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And the disciples, the apostles, they said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. And so there it was that they looked down, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. The appointment, as it were, of deacons as helps, and yet they were men that were greatly blessed and filled with the Holy Spirit. And we read that Sir Stephen was one of these, Philip was one of these that was blessed in ministering and preaching to the eunuch. But with Stephen, we read that he was full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And it is because of these things that they arose and disputing with him, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. And that is why they then rose up against him, set up false witnesses, accused him, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. And it is then as they set him before the council, and they looked upon him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. And he began, as they said to him, the high priest said, are these things so? Men and brethren, hearken. And he goes back to Abraham, where God called Abraham and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldees. And he traces it right the way through. One thing Stephen knew was the history of the blessing of God through Abraham to the children of Israel. And he was able to trace and see clearly that here was the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness, that all of these things they pointed unto Christ. He was not overcoming and destroying Moses or Abraham or the fathers, but what he was setting forth and preaching had fulfilled those things. And they were ignorant of it. How much in the Word of God you find this as a point, as almost a balancing edge. Ignorance. You think of where Peter, he speaks of Paul's writings, in the which there are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, twist, as they do also the other scriptures, to their own destruction. You think of how it was when our Lord preached, except ye eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, there's no life in you. And they said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? And they went back and they walked no more with him. And the Lord asked the disciples, will ye also go away? And they said, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But this point, where something is hard to be understood, it is a point where some fall away completely, some fall to enmity and hatred and fighting against those things, and others, it turns to their blessing. Philip, that was one of these others, seven chosen out, comes to the eunuch, understandest thou what thou readest? How can I except some man guide me? He was at that point, something he couldn't understand. Which way did it go with him? Went to the joy and salvation of his soul. Revealed that very part that he could not understand was made a real blessing. If there's one here and you're struggling with specific things in the Word of God, in the teaching of the church, the things that are set before you and you wrestle with it, you struggle with it, perhaps in your minds, how can these things be? Remember this. How many have floundered, how many have made shipwreck at this very point where you are. And yet how many have at that very point made that a true blessing for their souls. Ask of the Lord, dear friend. Bring it before him and lay these things you cannot understand before the Lord, and ask him to be the interpreter to you and to show you and to reveal it. And then it won't be that which you have taught yourself, is what you'll be able to say, the Lord has revealed this to me. So may we beware of these rocks and these shelves, but aware also that such places have been places of blessing. It wasn't here. They couldn't resist Stephen. They couldn't go against what he was teaching them. And because they couldn't find arguments, they couldn't combat on that way, they falsely accused him, brought up a false report, and sought to destroy him. Solemn character. But what a position here. We might sometimes question the Lord's ordering for his church. Why would he have got this soul so blessed, so filled with the Spirit, raised him up to a position in the church? He's no sooner in the church, but he's martyred. You might say, what a waste of the gifts and the blessing. Was it? We read that there is one here. They laid down his clothes, a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Paul, as he later was. And no doubt there are others, and no doubt as this dying testimony is set forth in the Word of God, It is ordained by God that it should be a means of instruction and blessing unto the end of the world. And what a blessing that would be if that included those in Swayze Chapel this evening. That which is written in the Word of God for the blessing and instructing of the people of God, a dying testimony. And we read in the words of our text of that which he had as a revelation, as a vision at that time of his death, as he looked up, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Not all of the people of God will have an experience like this on a dying bed. I'm not going to hear suggest that we must all be brought to this to be God's dear people or to have visions like this. But one thing is very, very clear, and is good time instruction times on a deathbed. It really takes everything, all the baggage that comes with religion, if you like, and it strips it all off. All the do this, do not do that, wear this, don't wear that, act like this, act like that. Everything is just pushed away, and the vital, real things to die by and to stand before God are left. Notice this, when you witness of those to enter into eternity, what they want, what they are seeking for. And it was centre in a Holy Ghost religion, in a revealed Christ, he at the right hand of God. Really what Stephen saw here was what you and I need to prepare us to stand before God. Or if there are those of you here, and perhaps you've been ensnared and taken up with all sorts of other things. Our Lord had those in his day that they strained at a gnat, they swallowed a camel, they made great mountains of things that really did not matter. Yes, it is right. It's right how we come into the Lord's house, how we dress as for the King of Kings, and how we behave ourselves, how we walk. These things are right. But there's that which is vital, and that is in the heart, and that which is really taught us of God. A solemn thing, if we have an office, if we have grace, if we have the right outward appearance, we pass by to men as if we are the Lord's people, but have no inward work of the Spirit in our heart. That is what is vital. May there not be any of us here, I include myself here, that are deceiving themselves and deceiving others with something that does not come from heaven and will not lead to heaven and will not get us safely there. So when we look at these verses, I want to look at four things in these two verses that really are vital, that really are needful, not just at the end, but as a ingredient of a true profession and true work of God. And the first thing that we read here, that Stephen, that he was full of the Holy Ghost. And that is the first thing I would set before you. We need a Holy Ghost religion. When our Lord sent the disciples, he said to them, "Tarry at Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Our Lord, when he ascended up into heaven, He said, I must needs go away. If I go not away, the Holy Spirit will not come unto you. But I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, which will abide with you forever. And they had to wait for that token and for that evidence and for the Holy Spirit to be given. And the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given as cloven tongues of fire to sit upon them, and they spake with other tongues as they were given utterance. There was a very evidence, power of this Holy Spirit that was there. And then when the apostles went preaching, we read that this was the evidence that they looked for, especially Peter when he went to the house of Cornelius. At the end of that account, although it was bound up with it, the wonderful providence of being called for, the angel told Cornelius where Peter was, sent the three messengers, he prepared Peter with the vision from heaven that he should go to the Gentiles, go to those that were otherwise classed as unclean. And he went, there were wonderful tokens, evidence, it was the Lord's hand in it. But what was the thing that Peter really remarked? And when he had to give an account to the apostles at Jerusalem, what was it that he mentioned? It was when that he began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Who are we to resist when the Holy Ghost gives that witness? This was a sign that John the Baptist was given so that he might know the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a sign that the Church of God is given that they might know who the people are that are to be joined to them. And that is upon whom thou dost see the Holy Spirit descend and remain. Such is he that baptizeth of the Spirit. Those are those that are the people of God upon whom the Holy Spirit descends. We need that which is from heaven, a Holy Ghost religion. We have the living Word of God, inspired Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that must take these things. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. He is the divine instructor and teacher. It's one of the most solemn errors, amongst other errors, of the Jehovah's Witnesses. They deny the person of the Holy Spirit. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but so whatsoever he seeth, heareth, that shall he show unto you. And it is then the work of the Spirit that reveals the things of God, opens them up, shows them to the people of God. It is the Spirit that compareth spiritual things one with another, takes of the things of God, compares Scripture with Scripture. It is the Spirit of God that does this. And may we be very clear on this. The Holy Spirit does not give extra revelation. We have here the complete, finished Word of God. If any man says that the Holy Spirit has revealed things to them that are not backed up and supported by the Word of God, and certainly that the Word of God condemns, it does not come from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the interpreter of the Word of God. It's that which opens it up. That which is already there, already set forth, and yet our eyes are holden, we cannot see it, we cannot understand it until the Holy Spirit opens it up. And it is through the preaching, it is through the read word that the Holy Spirit shines upon that word. If we want to know whether we have a Holy Ghost religion, It will be what light is shone upon this word by the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ to us, to reveal the truths of God to us with a savour and a power and an unction that can only come from God. And in this, very often it is necessary that there be a period of time, or there be that confession brought out, like it was with the eunuch. How can I understand except some man guide me? It meant more than just a man's guidance. And it is like it was with the two on the way to Emmaus, and our Lord then upon earth, as he opened to them the scriptures. We need the Holy Spirit to open up the scriptures of truth. It is a spiritual book that is spiritually discerned. It's for spiritual souls that are born again of the Spirit of God, that those things are to be open. And so it is vital that it is a Holy Ghost religion that we have. We read that he being full of the Holy Ghost. That is what we need to die by, and that is what we need to live by. How many of us really think of that word and coming into the Lord's house on the Lord's day to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day? And the Spirit is easy grieved. It's easy to grieve the Holy Spirit. I believe there's some of you here who will know that. May we be tender, careful of how we speak and how we act, especially in the house of God, on the Lord's day, amongst the people of God. It's easy to wound a spirit, easy to grieve the spirit, and then the door is shut, as it were. Or how soon that we lose those precious things of God. But the Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, given by God to instruct and teach the people of God. All that we know savingly comes through the Holy Spirit. All is from above. Nothing is from our own heart. Nothing is from natural religion that will be saving. Nothing will ever get us to heaven but what is owned from heaven and from God himself. And may this then be encouragement to those who feel your emptiness, those who perhaps must say with Joseph, when Pharaoh had heard that he could interpret dreams, and Joseph said, "It is not in me." God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. We'll be taught that sometime very painfully. "It is not in me. God has revealed and shown me what I know. It is not in me. It is in the Lord." Well, that is vital. If we were to strip away from our religion, from our profession, everything but what has been shown us by the Spirit and opened to us in the Word of God by the Spirit, how much would be left? Dear friends, how much would be left? Anything? A vital thing. Well, there's a second thing that is set before us here. We read that Stephen, that he looked up steadfastly into heaven. The people of God are like Moses, who chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But also they have that object in view. We have it set before us beautifully in Hebrews chapter 11. And we read there of those that died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, that is, as it were, this world, they might have had opportunity to return. The world still beckons for all of God's people that are seeking a heavenly country. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. I believe this is a touchstone of which many a profession will fall down. That many will say of all what they have got in a spiritual or religious way, and yet they are holding the world, as it were, with both hands. Their profession has not been a come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing profession. It has not been a profession, so did not I because of the fear of God. It has not been a profession, let us go out unto him without the camp bearing his reproach. It has not been a profession that being let go, they went unto their own company and not the company of the world. A profession that doesn't drive a wedge and a separation and crucify the world to us and us to the world is not a profession that is looking to heaven, looking for a heavenly country. The Lord has said that this world is polluted. This is not your rest. It is corrupt. It shall destroy you even with a destruction of your soul. And it is then to see that heavenly country. Is that an ingredient in our profession? If we were to strip away everything of this world. You think of Job. Satan thought that the only reason why Job served the Lord was because the Lord had set a hedge about him. And he blessed everything that he had, and he had everything of this life. So the Lord gave Satan permission that Job would be taken, these things would be taken from him. And Job lost his loved ones, his house, his goods, his servants, and eventually his health and strength as well. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Say it to the comfort of any here who perhaps going through things where you're losing things, losing health, losing prospects, things of earth. Has the Lord given you something that is more precious than all of these things? You might have looked at others and think, oh, well, they have such ease and quiet and health and strength and good, and I haven't. But the Lord has blessed you with grace and with his Spirit and with what they haven't got. It's a good thing when the Lord is pleased to show us, and though the devil might tempt and say that, yes, the only reason why you have a religion is because of all your ease and prosperity. But the Lord then used, and it might only be one thing, it might not be everything like Job lost, but one thing. Maybe that was very dear, very, you held very close. But the Lord enables you to let it go. And you hold it with a loose hand. You value him more. Value that which is above. Read years ago of a lady that had a very nice tea set. A young granddaughter, I think it was, went in the home and picked up the teapot and smashed it. Beautiful set. One major piece, all smashed. And the first reaction, oh, what a loss. so disappointed. And then she regained her composure, said, things, only things. Yeah, only things of time. We can set our heart upon them. But when we have it, then as seeing what they really are and realize what we have in the Lord, have we then a heavenly country? Have we that which, though heaven and earth were to be destroyed and taken away, we can say that we have a treasure in the heavens, an eternal mansion, a hope beyond the grave, that which man cannot take away. Our Lord had said, fear not them which kill the body, and after that have nothing more that they can do. I forewarn you whom you shall fear. After you have killed the body, you have power to cast both body and soul into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. It is the Lord that says, and to comfort his people, that he will come again, receive you unto myself. Why? I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. The people of God have an eternal home. They have a haven, which at times here below is a desired haven. It marks out the reality of what the Lord has wrought in them and what he is preparing them for. They are to be the bride of Christ. They are to be in the palace of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he gives them to long for that place and to look there from time to time. How has that which the Lord wrought in us affected our view of this world and our seeking and longing for that which is to come is a vital ingredient of real religion. But there is then a third thing that is set before us here. Stephen, he looks up into heaven and he makes testimony of this, that he sees Jesus standing on the right hand of God. We know this was a literal vision that he saw. He saw his Lord there, in that position. But really, this is vital for every child of God to realize and know that the Lord Jesus Christ, their great forerunner, their advocate with the Father, is there at the Father's right hand. Our Lord suffered and bled at Calvary. He came into this world. His position originally was with the Father. He spake of the glory that he had with his Father before this world was, as the eternal Son of God. But then that eternal Son of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was given the name of Jesus, and it is this Jesus that Saul, who looked on in this, so hated Jesus of Nazareth, and those that were to destroy or to kill Stephen here, destroy him they would if they could. They so hated that despised name of Jesus. And yet why was it given? For he shall save his people from their sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in his perfect life and obedience, wrought out a robe of righteousness that is for every child of God to be their covering, their righteousness before God. There's one here trusting in your own good works, your own righteousness, your own acceptance before God. You are like those of which Paul writes, and how great he was in the 10th of Romans about those who had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Why? Because they went about seeking to establish their own righteousness and had not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is that which is of faith. And it views in the Lord Jesus Christ that name, beautiful name, set forth, this is the name wherewith he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. And the church of God have the same name. This is the name wherewith she shall be called the Lord our righteousness. And in his life he wrought that out. Then was laid on him the iniquity of us all, laid on him the sins of his dear people, that he bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might know the righteousness of God in him. He was made, that Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world. He was made that scapegoat. He was made that offering acceptable unto God. The Lord hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead, and that he hath exalted him far above all principalities and power, and set him at his own right hand, henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And there he is at that position of power and might, in the same position as eternal Son of God was before the world was, but how different. What has gone on in between? Now he has a body never again to be divested of, a lamb as it had been slain, as in our articles of faith, the same body, flesh, bones that hung upon the cross are now in heaven, the right hand of the Father. They're not on earth and nowhere else. The real bodily resurrection and ascension into heaven, one of the precious truths we hold fast to. And there in that position he is, because he has abolished death, brought immortality and life to light through the gospel. And there he is in that position, setting forth that true conquest over sin and death and hell, there to appear in the presence of God for us. How vital to see him believingly there in that position where Stephen saw him. Not upon some wooden cross, as the Roman Catholics might set him forth, a dead Christ, but the living God, the true God, the mediator of the new covenant, he whose last will and testimony, Father, I will that all they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And that work that he works in his people's hearts, every blessing is by the Lord's hand, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those gracious gifts and blessings are from his hand. He knows every blessing he gives to you, poor soul. Sometimes those sweet witnesses of that, you might forget, and the spirit of the remembrance that brings back blessings you've had years ago with some sweetness and power remembrance, and sets his seal upon them as knowing the exact spot and place where they were. They're all known in heaven. But this is vital to see by faith the Lord Jesus there. And to you which believe, he is precious. And it will be precious at times that we have a friend at court, a friend in heaven, that we have there one that is above all. And there is our salvation within the veil. There is that beautiful time, the holiest of all. There is our great high priest entered in with his own blood. There he is to appear for us. How vital it is that he is our great forerunner there. He is the first fruits brought into the garner, offered up to God. The first fruits, they were an assurance that there was to be that which followed. An elder brother born for adversity, and his brethren that he must bring. And this then is the object of the people of God, that which they look for, long for, and desire after. Some might think, well, would not it have been better if our Lord had remained upon earth? No. In the plan of salvation, our Lord Jesus is in heaven. The Holy Spirit is given on earth, and the mystery of godliness. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You cannot separate God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. We do, as it were, to get our poor, finite minds round it. But our Lord said, if you have seen me, you have seen my Father also. I and my Father are one. And we cannot comprehend this. But how it is set before us is that the Holy Spirit will reveal Christ, and he reveals him in heaven, and he draws the people of God away from earth and unto heaven. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour. And this is the work of true religion, is to draw us out of self and out from this world and unto Christ. Let us go unto him without the camp, away from this world. When we see then death approaching, when we see this world, the fashion of it passing away, the Lord says, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. With what anticipation would we look for that redemption, being redeemed from the earth, set free by the payment of the precious blood of Christ. There's one last thing that is in these verses. Those things are spoken to you of, that which is in the first verse of our text. We would not know what those things were unless Stephen had told us. We're told here, he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. How do we know what he saw? Because of the next verse. And said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. This word is a help to us. How would we be thankful that Stephen spoke of what he saw? Are there those things that there's one of you or more here and the Lord has shown you these things but you haven't spoken of them? God's people are not to be silent as to what they have seen. The man that was born blind, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Open thou mine eyes, says the psalmist, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. It is a precious thing to be able to speak of what we have handled and tasted and felt of the good word of life. What the Lord has shown us and revealed to us to his honour and glory. There's a false humility that the devil will try and impart upon God's people if he can. And he will say, don't say anything. That's just pride. Don't say anything. You keep quiet. A proper Christian is a humble Christian who takes his low place. He doesn't make a show. He doesn't make a profession. He's not baptized. He doesn't go up to the Lord's table. He stays humble and low. That is a lie of the devil. When God's people speak of what he has done for them and revealed to them, they're not speaking of themselves. They're speaking about what God has done. When the Apostle Paul even would speak of that which he had wrought, God had wrought through his hands and in the ministry and in his apostleship, he speaks of all the others that so laboured as well. And he says, but I laboured more abundantly than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. And he puts the crown on God's head. He doesn't say nothing about it, but he puts the crown in the right place. The two on the way to Emmaus, they came back. And you see, this is often the case as well. If you and I must speak of the honour and glory of God, what God has shown unto us, often there is another side. How could the two on the way to Emmaus speak of what the Lord Jesus Christ had opened up to them in the Scriptures and how that he made himself known to them in breaking of bread without telling the others that he'd also said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken? They needed to, as it were, implicate themselves in that as well. And there will be that with us as well. The Lord will give us, if we have to give a testimony to the church of God, there will be those things that we'll have to say to our own discredit, our own walk, our own sin, how the Lord found us, where he found us, what we were going. Even after the Lord blessed us, our base backslidings, how we've not rewarded the Lord and returned to the benefit that we've received. And even after blessings, turned back to those things which then we have felt the emptiness and lack of profit in them. The Lord will make sure that is that which humbles in the dust, even though we exalt the precious Christ and speak well of him and glorify him. And so with this testimony here, there is that which he spoke of what he had seen. That is a true testimony, a testimony owned by God. If these should hold their peace, the very stones should cry out. And it is that which then fulfills that word, with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. It is a necessary profession and confession of those things that the Lord has done for us. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what he hath done for my soul. Not what I have done, what he hath done. And it is for the honour and glory of God. I say again, that which we've read and had set before us here, those vital things, if Stephen had not said anything, we would not know. And yet this is open to us, and may it then be a help to any. I, especially if you're a burden, as any of you that are cumbered about with unnecessary things, or even things that are troubling the church of God and the people of God. And it may be you are in possession of the real vital things and need to be reminded that these other things, that they are that which cause trouble, division, sorrow, grieving, and they are not the things that you want to remember and to know and think of on a dying bed. That which concerns the work of the Spirit and that heavenly land, that heaven above, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who has gone there before to prepare a place, and to whom we hope to come. And may we then give testimony of those vital things, those real things, those things which on a deathbed will be a real comfort to us. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Ridout will preach next Lord's Day And next week on Friday, Mr. Adrian Pickett will preach instead of Mr. Broom, who is still too unwell to preach at all. May we be given much prayer from dear Mr. Broom. Let us close with hymn 339. Oh, my distrustful heart, how small thy faith appears, but greater, Lord, thou art than all my doubts and fears. Did Jesus once upon me shine? Then Jesus is forever mine. Hymn 339.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.